Let us open the Bible in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. We talked about Jesus' birth, Jesus' childhood, Jesus' baptism, and now we're going to talk about his temptation. The King's Temptation is the title of the sermon. The King's Temptation. So beautiful. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Let us pray. Yes, ready. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we pray for understanding. May it speaks to us, may it refreshes us, may it strengthens us, and may we leave this place today convicted of who you are, assured that you are the King, and very joyful that you have defeated not only the devil, but temptation, and that you are our high priest that forgive our sins, that we can pray to. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. The King's Temptation. I have some pictures to help us. First picture. Miscommunication. The first picture should be the king. Wait. You know the guys on TV that they have here on the inner? Do you have the picture of the desert? Thank you. Okay. Okay, think about the king. The first picture is the king. Think about the king. Okay, picture of the king. Is that ready? Can you see Leo? Leo, can you see the king? Here, here. Yeah, come on. Okay, picture of the king, because it's the king who is being tempted. Now the picture of the desert. The devil tempted Adam in the garden. Adam was defeated, and all of us went to the desert. Now the King Jesus is tempted in the desert. He wins. And all of us, we're going to go to what? Back to heaven. Back to paradise. Back to the garden. It's good time for amen. Good. Praise God. Yes. So now we have two sentences. And then we're going to start reading. I hope I send those. Yes. Okay. What is the temptation? Remember the title, The King's Temptation. Sometimes we read the Bible and we... Not sometimes. All the times we read the Bible, we read to ourselves, right? What is the Bible talking to me? And sometimes when we're going to preach about the temptation, we want to preach what is the God talking to the congregation. But it's a little bit different because I am not a king. Are you a king or a queen? No. So we're going to need to try to understand the temptation in the context that it's in. Kingship. Okay? So for us to understand that, I need these two quotations. The devil is proposing an easy path to kingdom to Jesus. It's not only tempting him personally, but about his kingship. What kind of king are you going to be? Are you going to be like Donald Trump, Justin Trudeau, Lula, David Ford? No. Who is the guy? Ford. Yes, Ford, the premier. What kind of king are you going to be? This is the first one, the easy path. Or the second sentence is, the devil is bargained with Jesus as if Jesus' kingdom belonged to this world. He's offering things to Jesus that Trudeau would accept, Ford would accept, Gustavo would accept, But he did not realize that Jesus' kingdom is heavenly, not earthly, heavenly. Is that clear? Now we can go, because now your mind, it's ready to read. So verse 1 to verse 4, you can bring the first temptation, it's the bread. And now you can bring the nice picture, the bread. Yes, who is hungry? Who is going to be tempted now with this picture? There is angels. You're going to see in the text that angels come and feed Jesus at the end. There were three angels who are going to feed us. Michael, Miriam, and Trudy. It's downstairs in the basement at the end of this trial here with me. Okay? Beautiful table in the basement. Let's go. Verse 1 to 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." This is the first temptation, bread. Pay attention to the devil's word, "If you are the Son of God." Last week we went through this. Remember when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, he says, "He is the Son of God." What does that mean? He is the Christ. You remember Peter when Jesus says, "Who the crowd says I am?" And he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." These two things are always together. You are the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. So the devil is saying, if you are the Son of God, if you are the King, pay attention to this. Turn these stones into bread. Jesus does have a physical need. Yes or yes? And this temptation sounds personal. Yes or yes? But I tell you, it's also ideologically. Also ideologically. If you give a stimulus check, child benefit, immigrant benefit, pet benefit, bird benefit, Gustavo benefit, whatever benefit, what the population is going to do on the day of the voting? They're going to vote you. Is that true or not? The crowd is hungry. Think about Jesus' parables. There is no middle class as we normally do. I believe here majority of us are considered middle class. We are neither rich, but we are not poor as well. Maybe we are not too tempted if you give us a stimulus this, a stimulus that, benefit this, benefit that. But to a poor crowd, just like the time of Jesus. And when we talk about poverty in the time of Jesus, we are talking about poverty. We are not talking about the mortgage is a little bit too high. Or the whole year passed by and I couldn't go to the Bahamas. I went only to Quebec. That's not the kind of poverty we are talking about. We are talking about you gain the bread today and you eat it tomorrow. There is no money left over. There is no such a thing as called saving. There is no such a thing as called retirement. You are at the expenses of the weather. It's dry. It's flood. And your income, it's changed by that. You are at the expenses of people robbing you. You are at the expenses of the Romans, who are the ones governing the people. And there is a double taxation. Little for Israel, little for Rome. And we complain about our taxes. I complain. Raise your hand if you complain with me. Yes, good. I like people who complain with me. I don't like to be the complainer by myself. So these people are really suffering. It's not a 5% or 6% inflation that makes the head news. It's tough. And so, what is devil's temptation? See the stones, plural. See the stones. If you go to Luke chapter 4, it's the same temptation, but Luke uses only the word stone. Make this stone bread. That one, it's physical only. Here, Matthew is talking about kingship. Because Matthew's gospel, he's showing the people that Jesus Christ is not only the Savior, but he's the King. So this temptation, it's stones. There are many people, Jesus, feeling your hunger. You came from Nazareth. You know what's poverty. You were raised in Galilee. You know what's poverty. Your family, carpenter. You know what's poverty, Jesus. So if, look at the devil being devil. If what I heard in the Jordan, if you were anointed by the Holy Spirit, if the voice that says you are my son, you are the king, if this is all spiritual truth, let us make this also earthly truth. Let us make you the king. If you are the son of God, if you are the king, feed the crowd. And once you feed the population, I tell you, you're going to truly be the king. Do you understand the temptation? Does that make sense? John was driving multitudes, but John never feed the crowd. If Jesus comes right after John and feeds the multitudes, here, you are our king. Yes, you are the one. But what is Jesus' answer? No. Man shall not live on bread alone, but by the word of God. In other words, it is not my way. It is not human beings' way. What the politics do to come to power. And it's not the devil's way. It is only the way of my Father, Jesus is saying. The kind of king I am, it's not the one that Trudeau, Gustavo, Trump, or Biden would be. My kingdom is heavenly. My words comes from my Father. My ways comes from my Father. I'm not feeding the population in order to become king or in order to get their votes. The first temptation, rejected. Clear? Second one, very, very similar to it. And I believe I should be, that's religion. And we should have a picture. Yes. I don't know. The place I go to get pictures always show me the mosque. But I'm always trying to show you the temple. Okay? This is just a quick disclaimer. That's a mosque that's Muslim. But the place it's where it was the temple of Jerusalem. Because now we're going to talk about the temple. See verse 5. First population, the crowd, the massive vote was rejected. So now there is another way that people get into power as well in our day and ages in the history. And the devil is going to offer that too. Verse 5. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the son of God, if you are the king, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. The second temptation is religion, But not only religion, think about the word partnership every time we are talking about this. Partnership, alliance, you know when two parties, they merge together in order to defeat another party? Do you know? When they make political alliance agreements in order to defeat someone else, think about that. Illustration here. The temptation the devil is trying to do here to Jesus is just like, think about me, just finished Bible school, barely was ordained, barely got my diploma, and already there is the big, the mega, the church calling me. And definitely it gotta be in a place that it's warm. It must be. It can't be Canada with this cold. The perfect scenario. And Gustavo, you're not going there as the pastor. You're going there as the senior pastor. And you have the board. And the board, you are gonna be the president of the board. Does that sound sketchy? I'm just a Bible college, barely coming. I still need to be called a student pastor. I still need to be trialed. I still need to be a lot of things. But the temptation is, let us skip all of that. You're going to be the man. Because that's what the devil is trying to do to Jesus. Before I tell you what the devil tried to do to Jesus, let me see if you saw this in the text. Verse 1 says what? The Holy Spirit took Jesus where? To the desert. The Holy Spirit takes Jesus to the desert. Where did the devil take Jesus? To the temple. And we usually like to tell circumstances what they are. Oh, everything's going well with me, God. Oh, everything is drought, the devil. No. The text says that the Holy Spirit takes Jesus to the season of drought, and the devil tries to take Jesus to the blessed season. Keep that in mind, okay? Have you seen that in the text before? It's interesting. So, let me give you the scenario here. The temple, it's the heart of Israel, the most important piece of real estate in that land. What happens in the temple? People talking about the king, people talking about God, and people praying. Now, imagine they praying. Who knows how a Jewish person pray in the temple? Have you ever seen? They do this, right? And I'm not being sarcastic. This is true. So, they are this, and pay attention to the prayer. Lord, send the Messiah. Lord, what's the sign of the Messiah? Oh, Lord, may the Messiah. And when they're speaking, where is the devil took Jesus? To the temple. And what is his temptation? Just jump. And when you jump, look, the angel's going to take you. And the angel's going to bring you to the door. And as soon as you come, all the religious leaders, they are praying, they're expecting for you. Oh, Lord, let the Messiah come. And Jesus comes with the angels. What are they going to say? That's him. That's the Messiah. He is the one. Was that clear? The temptation here is Jesus make a triumphal entrance at the temple. And they're going to believe you. You refuse the popularity of the masses. So let us talk about the influential people. If the leaders tell you are the king, that's it. You are the king. And if you make their lives easy by making a triumphal entrance led by angels, it's clear. But Jesus said what? No. And Jesus did the opposite. He did a triumphal entrance. It's Palm Sunday. Palm Saturday. Palm Sunday. Sunday. Yes. Palm Sunday. He comes on the, with angels. He comes riding on a donkey. Not in the beginning of his ministry, at the end of his ministry. He does the opposite of what the devil is trying to do. Another thing the devil is trying to do to Jesus is avoid the conflicts. Who gave him more hard time? Who gave Jesus more hard time? The religious leaders. So if you come in this triumphal entrance, if you show with the angels, and if you do this in the beginning of your ministry, they're going to accept you. And then they're never going to fight you over Shabbat, over rituals, over anything, because you already win their hearts. And there is no conflict. Easy way to kinship. And Jesus, what did he say? No. And did he the opposite? He had a lot of conflicts with the religious leaders. Why? Because he was there to change their hearts. He was there to save them. He was there to bring them to repentance. And there is Matthew chapter 12, verse 6. There is these words of Jesus that really are understood now in this context. Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. When the religious people thought the temple was everything, Jesus is saying, I am everything. I am the heart of these people. I am the savior of these people. And if he goes the way the devil wants to go, people would never know that Jesus is greater than the temple, that Jesus is what the nation of Israel really needs. And Jesus is saying, I'll have a lot of conflict with them. Why? Because they are stuck in a system, but they do not understand the reality of the law, the reality of the religion of Israel. And the reality of the religion of Israel is to have a relationship with his God. And the reality of the nation of Israel, it is me. And so Jesus says, no. He refused popularity, feeding the masses, giving people what they want. And then the devil say, okay, there is another way you can become the king. There are many kings who rule and people don't like them. Do you know that? So many. Yes. And he says, if you go and get the influential people to your side, you're going to be the king. Because I heard the voice, you are the son. Because I saw the dove who came upon you. Because I heard what John the Baptist said, you are the king. Therefore, let's make this happen. Therefore, let us make your identity truly known. And Jesus said, no. And now comes the final one, the mountain. And the mountain, and we have a beautiful picture. We should have a picture, but we don't. The mountain is politics. When you look at the book of Revelation, it's very clear that mountains is politics. When you remember where Moses got the law, where did he got the law? On the mountain. Mountain is politics, and we don't need to go to Revelation or Exodus to see this, because verse 8 tells us very clear. Verse 8 says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All these I'll give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him alone, and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Jesus refused giving bread to the people so that people vote him, so that people acclaim him as a king. Jesus refused religious, influential people to declare him as the king and therefore make him the king. But now the devil says what? "Jesus, look to your nation. Who rules your nation?" And Jesus' answer is the Romans. "Does the people like the Romans?" "No, they don't." "Do the leaders of Israel like the Romans?" "No, they don't." "Would they vote for the Romans to be the leaders?" "No, they wouldn't." "But are they the leaders?" "Yes, they are." So Jesus, forget about the people. Forget about the leaders. There is still another way that I can make you the king. We enforce it. I give you political power. I can give you the nations. Because the nations are mine. They are idolaters. They are Gentiles. They don't know God. They are mine. Easy for me. I'll give them all. And you're going to rule. And it doesn't matter if your people want you. It doesn't matter if your leaders want you. I'm giving you political power. And that surpasses and oppresses everything. And now let us see the background and context again. Because it's an easy no when we just read this. But let us see the story of the people of Israel. The Babylonians come and they take the Jews and bring to Babylonia. And then the Jewish people has no king anymore. And then the Persians come and conquered the world. And they send the Jews back, but they still have not a leader. They still have not the sovereignty. The Persians are the sovereign. And then the Greeks come, and the Greeks take over everything. And to make things even worse, the Greeks, they put their Greek kind of life, which is called Hellenism, into the people. Now the people are not pure Jewish anymore. Now the people speak Greek. Now the people think like the Greeks. Now the people of Israel lost their culture. And then come the Romans. And the Romans say, "It's us. We are ruling. And we're going to tax you. And we're going to oppress you. And we're going to threaten you." Does Israel are happy with this? But this is history, past. Let us come to our days. Israel, it's called the nation of Israel or the state of Israel? No, it's the state of Israel. The state of Israel. The piece of land. UN needs to tell them, UN and other organizations, this is yours, this is not yours. You can attack, you cannot attack. You can defend, you cannot defend. Do you understand this? Does that happen to us in Canada? No. That some organization, other people are always telling us what to do. Where do we belong? What's our land? What is not our land? Same situation. They still don't have the sovereignty they would like to. They're still not as free as they would like to. They're still not in the scenario as they would like to. And comes the temptation. Let us stop with this, Jesus. No one else is going to tell you what to do. You know the UN? Say goodbye. You know the nations who keeps bugging you? Say goodbye. Now you're going to tell them what to do. Not them telling you what to do. I'm giving you political power. Instead of giving taxes to Rome, now Rome is going to be taxed by you. Instead of being the poor people, now you're going to be the wealthy people. Instead of being the slaves working for the Romans, working and send your money to the country next to you, now the country next to you are going to work for you and send their money to you. This is the proposal. And again, if you ask this to any leader, feed the people and they will vote you. That's the way you're going to win the election. What are they going to do? You're going to feed the people. If people say, you know, go to the influential people, partner with them, make alliance with them, and that's the way you're going to come to power, what the politicians would do? They would do it. Sometimes it's a party with an ideology with the opposite ideology and they come together. Why? Because they like each other? No. Just because I want win. Just because I want power. Just because I want to be the king. And finally, if none of this is enough, you can rule by yourself. Then you don't need the people to vote you. Then you don't need partnership. Then you don't need anything. You're going to be just another Augustus Caesar, just another Alexander the Great, and you call the shots. And you know the devil quotes his scriptures, and you're going to rule them with iron scepter. And what is Jesus' answer? No. Do we have, I need to ask this, do we have Zechariah? Good. I thought I have sent a lot of things and I didn't. Look at Zechariah. What it's in the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. All the kings would get by power and by might, I'm going to reign. What is Jesus saying? Not by power, not by might, not through religious alliances, none of this, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And I conclude this sermon telling you this. There are some people, pay attention to this. There are some people that you're going to talk to them and we ask, why don't you believe in Jesus? And they're going to give us the question back. Is the Jesus the King of peace? Yes, he is. Is the Jesus the King of righteousness? Yes, he is. Is Jesus the King and Savior of the world? Yes, he is. And then these people, they're going to tell you, every time I wake up and I look my window, I see no peace, I see no righteousness, I see no salvation. So I can't believe in the Jesus you preach. If Jesus have said yes to the devil's temptation, he would be the kind of king that these people I just described to you were expecting. They would look to the window and there is no poverty. Why? Because Jesus made the stones into bread. They would see righteousness because Jesus made religious political alliance. And it's Jesus, so it's a good kingship. But let me tell you, thanks to God, that's not the king we are waiting for. No matter if you solve poverty, no matter if you make the world Disneyland, all of us, we have an address that we all go to, the grave. No matter if you resolve poverty or anything, there is a problem that comes from within, the heart. No matter if you protect yourself in a fortress, there is things that come from within. And Jesus came to the root. Jesus came, I am the king, my kingdom is heavenly, and I resolve things in the root. The problem of humanity is not lack of bread. The problem of humanity is sin. And I'm gonna come, and I came to defeat it, to resolve it. So thanks to Jesus, first that he not buy these temptations. And thanks to Jesus that he is not the kind of king. Our world, it's already used to it. We already have too many of them. And we are kind of like sick of them. Don't say amen. But Jesus, who goes to the root, who deals with sin, is the king that we needed to. Whatever humans put their hands on, no matter how good, it eventually dies. And then comes King Jesus, which his kingdom is heavenly. Whatever he puts his hand on, comes life. As a matter of fact, they tried to kill him, and not even that can stop him. In the third day, there is so much life in him, he raised. That's the king we were waiting for. Amen? Amen.